kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
I'd like us, if we were, to turn to the book of Romans, chapter 6, and I want to primarily look at verse 6, and we're calling our teaching today, Making Our Decision on the Cross and Sin. Making Our Decision on the Cross and Sin. And it says this, doesn't it, in Romans 6, verse 6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Father, help us with your word. It is challenging. We have to consider what you say, but grant and help us that we can channel this back to you in dialogue, in prayer, and in intercession. And so, Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit now who comes to help and teach us now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Making our decision on the cross and sin. It's interesting, isn't it, that we cannot go long in this walk where sin and unbelief have to be dealt with. And the scriptures and the preaching move us to do what? To offer it up in prayer. And this, of course, is why our prayer life is important. And a prayer life can only really be developed before Almighty God when we are willing to go into the presence of God. In other words, into our closet. And this is where the disciplined life comes in. You will not progress, you will not grow in the walk if you do not have this regular time with God, where it is you and the Lord, because that is what it's all about. That is where our relationship with Almighty God is enriched. This is where you learn from him, his ways, the touches in your life, hearing his voice, and so on. And one cannot emphasize this enough, particularly when we deal with such subjects like this, making our decision on the cross and sin. And as we have just read to you here, knowing this, so there's an important start. The apostle is saying you need to know this. This again is knowing experientially that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. If you are truly a disciple of Christ and you have considered all that we read here with regard to discipleship, we know it is moving forward. We place our hands on that plow and we go forward. There is no looking back. When we have settled these things, we then find that God begins to deal with that sin and unbelief in our lives. Now, it doesn't mean to say that we are not a new creation, because what the Apostle Paul is saying that we should know through our faith, our commitment, that the life that was the old man in the first Adam is now crucified with him. That is the risen Lord Jesus Christ, the one who went to the cross to make this possible, that the body of sin might be done away with. So it's dealing with the body. And this is why we hold to the gospel, that it ministers to the whole person, body, soul, spirit, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. In other words, held by sin, that you are in the world simply choosing which way to sin. He has broken that control over our lives, our minds. This is what he's saying here. Now, of course, we know that all of this takes time to realize this. We don't fully get this when born again. In fact, it is a work, it is a progress as God continues to deliver us. You see, the imagery of the man-child in Revelation 12, where we know that it takes 9 months for a child to fully develop. So when we put that over to the spiritual, what is happening there? What is happening is that as we come to a realization of sin and unbelief that hinders our maturity, we deal with it as the Holy Spirit prompts us, as he deals with it, as he brings it to our attention. This is why our gathering together unto him, coming under this anointing, is so important, because our maturity comes through the fivefold ministry, Ephesians 4, through the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. That is needed in which to deal with what we're looking at here in verse 6. We have all of us experienced that when first saved, when God begins to hone in and highlight into areas of our lives, we were not fully aware of it until the Holy Spirit convicted, begins to show. And we often feel shameful that that can still be a part of us, even though by faith I am a new creation. Sometimes it takes us by shock. We're grieved. We can't believe that that can happen or is there in our lives. And this is what the apostle is dealing with here, because he's showing it takes time to realize. It takes time to realize that sin must die. And this is where the cross comes in, which we are to take up daily and follow the Lord. Why are we to take it up? Well, it's not only, of course, dealing with the self-life or the selfish life, but it's dealing with sin, unbelief, that will eventually come to the surface. This is why we go through trial and tribulation, and many of those trials is where the furnace is turned up 7 times hotter, in order to bring to the surface the scum, to purify this gold. What is this scum? This scum is sin and unbelief, and it has to be dealt with. And this is why the word of God, the promises of God's word, the preaching of the word moves us to offer it up in prayer. This is absolutely essential. You will never stay with this walk and the deeper life in the spirit unless what challenges you, You turn it and offer it to God in prayer. If you don't do that principle, you will become offended by the word, by this assembly, and the preacher, and so on. And that's why many go back. They become offended, and the problem being is they neglect their prayer life. As I've said so often, when counseling with brothers and sisters, one of the things that I bring up pretty quickly is, what is your prayer life like? And I have invariably found that those who go back have very little prayer life. So little wonder that these things happen, because the whole nature of the word, our gathering together, is of course not only for fellowship, we heard all about that on Sunday, but it's ultimately for you to talk with your Father in heaven who loves you. That's ultimately what it's about. And if we're not disciplined in that, we're not fully going to mature and grow into this sonship that Revelation 12 shows will happen in the last days. You see, it takes time, doesn't it, to realize that sin must die. And you know, the greatest moment is when it's crucified, because that is what it's all about. When sin is dealt with, when unbelief is dealt with, and you know it because God will reveal it, you will get an understanding, you will get a revelation, you will get a quickening. What is happening? That is the cross that has put to death whatever it is that God is dealing with you and I. And that is why we can boast in the cross. This is where it starts and it finishes, with the cross. And this is why the cross is the central point of the Christian faith and its teaching. You remove the cross, you have no gospel. And so Paul argues this, and he says this, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. And that is what is done away, that I'm no longer falling into temptation, falling into that same old thing. And we all know about that. And as we get delivered from that, that is the sign, the cross is doing its work. As I've said so many times, settle the cross and the Holy Spirit will do the rest. You don't have to crucify yourself. It'll be done. The trials, the temptations, everyday life, walking, believing, overcoming by faith, that will do it all. Christ didn't have to crucify himself. They crucified him. And it's the same principle. And it's remaining with it until I know that it is put to death in me. And this is why I keep saying, keep coming, keep listening, keep with the fellowship, for that very purpose, that you will one day know that what is oppressing, what is bringing you down or holding you back will be dealt with. He that endures to the end will be saved. There is the principle, because God has got it completely under control. Now we could say to ourselves, well, why does it have to be like this? Why do we still have to grapple with these things? Because what God is doing through us is a bigger work than we ever realize. We're always so self-centered, looking on the problem, the obstacle, but God sees it far bigger, because it's always about the glory of God. Now, when you're dealing with the glory of God, whether it be individually or corporately, you are dealing with something very, very great. And we're not always aware of this. We're not always considering that what God is doing in delivering me is about His glory. And that's why we don't always understand it. It doesn't make sense, or it shouldn't be after all these years, because it is about His glory. And that's why we at times still have to be honest and humble with regard to ourselves. And why? You see, we have to really settle this with regards to being disciples, taking our cross up. We have to settle on the fact that my life will be different. It is different. And a lot of Christians have a problem with that. They still want to be like the world and act like the world and do all the things that the world does. But the Holy Spirit within us, He is not comfortable with that. And He shows us that we do not act and live like the world. Remember, the word tells us we are His peculiar treasure. And the cross is going to deal with that sooner or later. Or the cross is going to deal with those habits that we still have, that have got to die. And habits can be in many, many forms in us. Some of us still have bad habits that do not glorify and edify God. And He has to highlight that. Or we still just hold on to worldly things. We still rely on these worldly things instead of looking to God, talking to God about our needs, all the things that can come up each day. We're still not settling, seeking the kingdom first, His righteousness, and all these things will be added. In fact, I don't believe you can settle the kingdom of God in seeking it until the cross is settled in your life. You will still be dependent on these worldly things. When we say dependent, it means that your faith is in them and not in the word and the promises of God. That is what we mean by this. Or we just do things independently of Almighty God. Do you still plan your life? Have you still got your life planned for this year? What you are going to do? If you are, that is a sign you are doing it independently of Him. Sometimes we don't want to pray or commit it over to Him because a part of us thinks He might block it or He might not let me do that. So it's best to ignore it. You can't walk that way with God. We either walk in the Spirit or we don't. Or we go independently of that, planning our lives and so on without Him. How often do we make plans with people and then we go to the Lord and ask Him to bless it? Well, why did we not seek Him first before making those decisions? Now, of course, we walk by faith each day and we have to make decisions And Carla was keep running to God and waiting and all this business. We touched on that on Sunday. But you get my point, where we're walking with God, and where my walking with God could cause me to walk independently of him, then I have to stop and seek him on that, because that is important. Because I am making decisions with regard to the cross and sin, which can lead me to sin. So that should always be in our thinking. Will this be leading me to sin and unbelief? That is the question. Because if you love the Lord, then you want to do it his way. In other words, obey him. Now, what does he say in verse 11? Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So he says, then reckon yourselves to be dead. Well, of course, we know what that means. Count on it as done. In actual fact, rely on it. It's not something that you should question or argue with. It's done. Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin. It's not negotiable. It's not something that I'm going to argue or talk about. That is it. That is what's happened. That is what's happened in my life as a disciple now, following Christ. But the good news is, alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that's the difference. That is what we look to now. You see, we look to God because we're alive in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so he's the one that we follow. We keep our eyes upon, but we have to accept God's verdict on this. And you have to deal with this. You have to deal with your will, that obstinacy that we can have. And that's why our faith and our will believes. And we see that in verse 5. He says, for if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. So there's my faith, my belief. That's what I settle on. I've been united together in his likeness of his death. So I shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. That is our faith. That is our belief. And we believe that God is working that by the power of the Holy Spirit. And you will know if you have a likeness to him, because you will see his life coming through you. You know, it's interesting, but some saint said this: the resurrection of Christ has given him the authority to give life of Almighty God to me. Isn't that incredible? The resurrection of Christ has given him the authority to give the life of Almighty God, my Father, to me. And that is what it's all about. And that's why we cry out, Abba, Father. All my life is built upon him. And we can experience in this life his resurrection power and life that is exhibited in me. And how is it exhibited in me? Through holiness and obedience and believing, trusting, walking in the promises of Almighty God. That's how it's manifested in me. Do you consider, do you want Almighty God's life manifested in your body even? Yes, you are made right spiritually, But he's showing it goes on more than that. It's dealing with the whole man. And this is why we preach the deeper life, for this purpose. It's a question of me exhibiting the holiness, the obedience of Almighty God. That is what we're talking about. That is the decision that I have to take by taking up that cross and dealing with sin. This is why it is the deeper life. This is why it is deliverance, because it's exhibiting his holiness, his obedience. Everything that he is being exhibited and manifested in our lives. And if you do not understand this, you've got to go before God and stay in his presence until you are understanding and starting to experience this. Because God has made it possible, but we don't always believe, do we? In nature, it's a transaction of his life in me, in human flesh. And it's in every part of me. It's not just my mind and my heart. This transaction, this new life, is every part of me. And this is where most stop. And this is where it's most stop in churches and in preaching, because they don't consider the body and the flesh. That is always left out. And why is it left out? The body, the flesh, can go to the arm of the flesh and rely on the world and rely on man. You don't have to have faith for that. But that isn't gospel. That isn't what the apostle speaks about here in Romans 6. And it's called compromise. And that is why we're seeing the great apostasy taking place now. And what are we seeing amongst so much Christendom? They believe what is right, what they think is right. Doing what is right in their own eyes and mind and thinking. They're blind leaders of the blind. But this won't let you do that. And the cross is always left out. The enemy is very subtle, you know. He can make one feel pious, Christian and saved. It's a counterfeit. But thank God he won't let that happen to us, because our Father loves us, as challenging as this is. And who wants to be deceived? God forbid, there's enough of it in the world. And this is why the Holy Spirit takes charge of everything. And on my side of it is, I am to walk in the light and believe that which God gives to me. And that is what we do. That is what we're doing today as we listen to the word. We are releasing our faith, believing upon it, so the Holy Spirit can do that work of change and deliverance. And that's why he says, "It reckon," in verse 11, "reckon it done. Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin." Rely on it. It's done. The power of the Holy Spirit has come to work that. You can't work it, but as you believe upon that, you are giving him the right and access in your life to deal with it. Now, it might take a trial. It may take a delay in your life. Whatever it is, it's all going to work together for good, to them that love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. So whatever's happening in your life, it's working together for good. And that's why God sometimes chastens us. And thank God he does, as a sign our Father loves us when he does that. So reckon it done. And this is where you have to settle with regard to sin. That's why I have said before, if you want to be a disciple of Christ, then you have to go to your own white funeral and be buried. You see, remember, it's what has been given to us. I don't think we're still aware of what has been given to me in my life, the whole of my life. This is awesome. It's mind-boggling that Jesus Christ has enabled Almighty God to take residence in your life and my life. How can we ever be the same when you hear such great statements in the Word of God? You can't. Remember, it's what has been given to us. What has been given to us? The holiness of Jesus Christ. His resurrection, his resurrected life, a new spiritual order has come into my life. This is a sovereign grace working in me through Jesus Christ. As it was working in Jesus, reconciling the world, so it is working in you and I, reconciling, bringing us back to that divine order, bringing us back to the place where before Adam and Eve fell in relationship with God. It's not all when we get into glory. He set it in motion now through the sons of God, for the purpose of releasing groaning creation. Oh, creation groans because it's in such confusion and turmoil. And only the sons of God can deal with this mess on this earth. Can you not see what God is working through us? This stops us from being self-centered and just my trial, my life and what I'm going through. This is infinitely bigger. I would say to anyone, move on. It's time to move on. We've concentrated too much on ourselves and our luxuries and me and what I want to do. It's time to mean business with God. And the wonderful thing about this is it's not a replica that he's creating me. He's making the same copy that was in Jesus Christ, the same in you and me. As he now has eternal life, the Son of Man, glorified, gone forward, the same in you and me. That is why we are a royal priesthood. We have access to the throne. We have been given authority and dominion and all blessings that have been bestowed on him. He has generously bestowed with us as well. We're not left out. What God has given to Christ, he's given to us also through him. That's why eternal life is the gift from God. It's not a gift, it is the gift. And the power of the Spirit puts all of this into action. This is what he's doing. He's putting all of this now into action. That's why he says, doesn't he, in Acts 1 and verse 8, Acts 1 and verse 8, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth." The power of the Spirit recreates all of this in and through us. Hallelujah. And this all will happen. Your entering into this experientially will happen when you settle on sin and deal with it. Then his light becomes ours. And what is it? It's an endless supply of his life. We have received of his life. We've received of his fullness. But it's sin, unbelief, that blocks the channel, if you like. Nothing wrong on his side. It's our side that can still be the problem. And what does it say in Ephesians 3 and verse 19? Ephesians 3 and verse 19. "To know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." What does he say there? To know what? The word of God? The obedience of God? The truth of God? No. He goes right to the heart of the Father. He says, to know the love of Christ. This is done by love. That's why it's so important. Because he first loved us. You know, this all will happen when we are willing to let go. When we still want to hold on. Those false securities. We still want to hold on to the old ways. Or those old relationships. And whatever it is that's still a hindrance. You see, he will have complete dominion over us and not sin. And you give him the permission to do this. In actual fact, the idea of this, as I bring this to a close, you're giving him the permission to actually invade, comes in like a flood. We've said this before. This is what demons do, but demons don't ask you. They come in as thieves and predators. They'll make their home in the flesh. But what we do is, you see, God doesn't do that. That's why he's given us a free will. But when we give him permission and we ask him, it's like he invades. That's why it says when they were in the upper room, suddenly the Holy Ghost fell on them, invaded them, took over, filled them in their whole being. And that's what he's done. And that is what he will do. And that's why we've talked about today making a decision on the cross and sin. Well, I trust you've been blessed and it's maybe answered some questions, or yes, it has challenged. But do what God has said. Take it back to him in prayer and wait in his presence and let him do that work, because that is where you grow with Almighty God. And remember, he loves us, and everything he does is because of his great love.
so disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
All lies down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus.